Welcome to The Morning Crew, a grief podcast hosted by three gals in their mid-20s. Here, talking about grief is completely normal and a part of our everyday life. So grab a cup of coffee or a drink. Grief conversations can actually be that casual. So let's talk about it.
Hello, hello. Welcome back, everybody. We are so excited to finally just have a catch-up together after all of our special guests that we love and adore so much. We're just excited to honestly have the three of us back in our studio. And I say that with air quotes because this is a virtual studio. And I'm just excited to honestly check in with my girls. It's been, I don't know about you guys, but I am real fucking excited that Mercury in retrograde is ending relatively soon. When we're recording this, I think we have like a week left or something like that. I don't know if you guys are with it on the dates. It's also a Taylor album release week. It's also Mads's birthday, which I'm also mad about because now both of you have been gifted a new freaking album on your birthday weekends, and I'm waiting for mine, and I don't think it's gonna happen this year.
Maybe a re-release.
So Speak Now was gonna be like the closest one because that was July.
Yeah.
So I just feel like it's not in the cards unless we're blessed with the rep Taylor's version on my birthday weekend. I would truly die and go to heaven.
Truly. But having just like a new Taylor album coming this week brings an electricity to all of our lives this week in the anticipation of the new album. I know I felt like elevated energy this week knowing the album is coming.
Oh, definitely. I'm super pumped for it. Mads, I know it's your birthday weekend. What's on the agenda? What are you up to? Are you listening to the album all weekend long, or are you like partying it up? Are you chilling? What's the plan?
Well, speaking of the release and birthdays, remind me when your birthday is again, Kath?
July 21st.
Okay, because it's me. I looked up that World Snake Day is July 17th, so I was trying to think of a reputation tie-in.
Okay, that's not that far off.
That's not that crazy. No, wait, Kath, you manifested this right now, and I feel like that's enough.
You thought you were gonna laugh at me, but I had good points with that. So there's that, something to sit on for sure. Not far off at all. But no, my birthday is in, I guess, 3 days. I was telling Kath a little bit before we started recording, I am going to a wedding on Friday. My friend is getting married to an Indian man, and there's a full Hindu ceremony. We're wearing lehengas and saris. We're getting henna tattoos. It starts at 9 a.m. on Friday, and it's a whole party situation. And so I will not have time to really listen to it because by the time I get into D.C. Thursday, we have the rehearsal and everything that ends at 10. I'm assuming after a day of travel, I'll probably like listen to it as I'm falling asleep, but I won't get like a full solo listen because the next morning I'm going to be at the wedding the whole time and I'm not going to be able to like have headphones or anything, obviously. So, I think it'll have to wait till my actual birthday. But if you guys think that Taylor Swift giving me an album for my birthday this year is not going to my head, you would be wrong. I haven't been obnoxious about it yet, but it's really brewing in my brain. So I'm very excited. I will probably be listening to it any chance I can. As far as birthday plans, nothing really exciting. I get back from DC Saturday morning. And my partner and Eloise, the dog, will come pick me up from the airport and we'll just probably listen to the album, hang out. And I'm going to dinner with my family at nighttime at a fondue restaurant in town. So pretty low key, but good and fun. And yeah, I'm very excited. Thanks for that, Kath. Should I go into it now? Can we all catch up?
We need to catch up. Yes.
Okay. So as you guys know, I have a new job. For listeners, if you don't know, I have a new job. I actually do think that if I didn't mention it, I might be repeating myself. I'm sorry, life has been kind of crazy, but I found out about it when I was back home with taking care of my grandma's estate with my mom. Like, I got the call while I was in the bedroom that my grandpa died in. And like, we call it the death room as a joke, but like, I was literally, that was like the only private room with a door. And like, that's where I was able to go talk. So I literally got the job offer there. What was really crazy was I had applied to it back in October, and I had gone through this crazy interview process, interviews, it was insane. I finally got the job offer in January. So from October to January, I was kind of trying for this. And the job is for a company, and I'm just going to talk about it. I mentioned the podcast in my interview, and I shared some of the posts I've created with words and verbiage and part of my portfolio. But the company I work for is called the Sandy Hook Promise. They are a national nonprofit. They're a nonpartisan organization, so we don't side with Democrats or Republicans. We just try to take care of kids and their mental health. And so the warning signs of violence, we're the only organization that's been invited to every single White House since we started, Obama, Trump, and Biden. So we really aren't trying to be diverse. Nobody wants kids to have bad mental health or kids to be getting shot in their classrooms. Like, it's just not, nobody wants this stuff to be happening with the gun violence in our country. So that's what I'm doing now. I'm working for the organization. I'm on the storytelling and marketing team. I run all of our social accounts. And I love it so far. I was telling Kathy, again, we were catching up just briefly, that it has been life-changing because I am now working from home. And not only the fact that I love my company and I love the mission, I also loved my past company, but there's something that's just a little bit, makes me sleep better at night knowing I'm not just selling like roofs and Botox. Like, I feel like there's genuinely, it's tough and it's heavy, but like, it's worth it. We've made a lot of progress already. We have these crazy stats that are just incredible. And we just keep picking up momentum. But the company was started by two parents who lost their kids in the Sandy Hook school shooting. So it's kind of, and I've been talking to the girls a little bit about this, but it's kind of this overall umbrella of grief is like over me almost all the time. Like, I'll talk to my bosses and they use this verbiage because it gets legislation passed, but like my son was killed in this classroom, but like there's no bedside manner and there can't be because guns are the leading cause of kids under the age of 18. Like, it's just absurd. So it's all important, but this weird grief cloud has kind of come over a lot of what I do. I'm posting about all the mass shootings that have happened in our country. I'm following up with people on social and in messages. And it's a lot of people, big names and small names, that follow us. So I have to make sure that whatever I'm really have to be buttoned up, which is part of the reason I've been pretty tired, but I was, like I said, I mentioned it's like life-changing to be able to work from wherever. I had this last year, I could have been with my dad through his whole chemo. So I'm very grateful for the opportunity to be closer to my family. I'm also grateful for the opportunity because I'm working remote and it's an amazing, pretty chill, wonderful company. I get to come to California for like 6 days this summer. And I am really hoping I get to meet Kelsey and Kathy, although they got back together this weekend without me. So maybe that's why I finally am like, I'm just coming because I can't deal with it anymore. But that's a bit of my update. And I definitely want to hear if you guys have any questions or thoughts and also all about your meetup. And we have to plan off air for when I come to town.
Yes. So excited for all of that. Like, such a badass job, such an amazing role, and you are making an impact. So I know we've told you this, but on air too, just so happy for you and proud of you. And it's just crazy and so cool that the podcast did end up playing a role in the interview process and showing your portfolio, and that you're like, yeah, I can handle heavier topics. I know how to delicately talk about them in a way that resonates with people. And it's just crazy to think that when we like started this for no reason other than we wanted to, that it's literally helped shape your career. And obviously you're amazing and so well-rounded like outside of this podcast. But I remember just being like, damn, like if nothing else comes from this podcast other than that, like that's already so cool. And I just wanted to ask you before we do deep dive into our fun little LA adventure Kathy and I had, do you feel like that talking about grief and us talking about heavier stuff regularly for the last like 2+ years, which is also crazy to say the podcast has been on that long. Do you feel like that
now, of course, like gun violence and young children, like there's nothing that we could do in life to like prepare to be around that. But do you feel like the podcast in a weird way did kind of ease you into that world where you were like a little bit more used to speaking about heavy things?
That's a good question. And yeah, I definitely think so. And you could credit that to a lot of things that it's done, the podcast. I mean, it's made it easier for me to talk about that in my job interview process. And honestly, at the end of the day, on a bad day, I'm sitting at my desk and posting about people who've been murdered and died for all day. Like, it's like, it's genuinely like I'm looking up all of the news. I've really gotten to touch back in with my journalistic side, which I really love. But it is, yeah, it's kind of brutal. So I definitely think not only, I think it's helped in a way that not only does it make it a little bit easier for me, but like I'm able to not go down the rabbit hole of like, I'm going to die. What happens if I die? Who's going to take care of Eloise if I die before her? Like all of the things that you do, or I at least used to do, I think. And it's actually kind of the best thing that it could do is make it a little bit more not scary or like conversational, like we said. So I think it's easier because I don't get that anxiety because I feel like we talk. And maybe I got it when we first started recording, but like this is so normal for us now. I think that it definitely has a lot to do with it. That's a really good question.
Yeah, I was curious about that too. And just also, before we get into the meetup, if there are, I'm always curious with those types of companies, like how their mental health resources are for the people that do work there. Like, have you found a difference in that because of the content that you're around all day and all the time? Like, is there anything that you can kind of speak on there? And it's okay if not.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that this is genuinely, and because it was built by parents who lost their members of their family, it's very, very family and health focused and mental health focused. Like we're preaching, like I'm talking to kids on Instagram who are running mental health, like foundation, like clubs at their school to help raise awareness. So like, if I'm not aware of mine, how could I be helping them? And they said this in the interview process too, they're amazing. They're like, if there's ever a mass event and you know, I'm in charge of kind of, I'm the on social, it's funny because a lot of people think that social media is like, oh, we all have social media, like it's not a real job. But like in that instance, I'm the first line of fire when things are happening. So people are coming to our social to ask questions. They're messaging us. They're commenting on things because they can access it all so easily. And we do all of the platforms, including Threads. So I feel like some of that, yeah, I feel like they're very aware of that. And they'll be like, if you need to take a break to go walk the dog, like just let us know. Like unlimited PTO and really, really great benefits. And like when I was submitting my PTO for this like 5-day trip to California, there wasn't even like a question. It was just like immediately approved because they really value it. And if you don't take your PTO each quarter, somebody will reach out to you and make you take your PTO, like even though it's unlimited. Like they're really, really aware of that. And I think that's another reason. And I think it makes sense with all companies, but like makes you want to ride for them even more because and support them because they support me. I haven't used the therapy insurance benefit yet. I'm going to visit my therapist in person when I'm back home. So I'll let you guys know on that if it comes back up. But as far as the like internal resources, it's been really great.
That's incredible. Like that amount of benefit and self-awareness, you wish like all companies in the world had that kind of attention and care towards mental health. But it's great that they kind of put their money where their mouth is if they're like preaching this, that they are actually taking care of employees. So Kath, you can jump in too. But yeah, I just wanted to call that out, that that's really amazing. And I'm glad you're in such good hands.
Yeah, we're so happy for you. And it's so nice. I know just knowing you, like how much meaning this has to bring you, that where you can actually have a role that serves so much purpose. And I know like, all of us have a little bit of that inside of us, which we wouldn't be doing the podcast if we didn't. So I think we all kind of like align there. But shifting gears into our LA meetup, I was very fortunate to have Kelsey visiting LA last month. And we were able to schedule a day where I took her out to Malibu. I honestly felt like it was like a romantic date night. And we were watching the sunset as Mads is rolling her eyes. And we were watching the sunset We got into some funny conversation with the people around us. Some drunk person told us that he loved us just out of nowhere. And it was really good. I felt like, honestly, it filled my soul and I filled my cup up a little bit in a way that I didn't even think I needed. Something I learned about Kelsey is that she also is a very, very good wing woman and can find any sort of like connection with a stranger to make them talk to you. So that was really fun too. And yeah, we had a lot of great moments. I don't know. Is there anything else you kind of wanted to touch on, Kelsey?
Yeah, no, we were making the joke that it was like the best date we'd been on in a while because it was like so thoughtful. And for everyone's like context, Kathy and I have only met in person. This was only our third time. And the other two times were like relatively brief. So it still almost had like not nerves, but like that feeling before we met up of like, oh, we haven't seen each other that much. And she got to like quickly like meet some of my friends I was with. And then she like whisked me away. And like, just to be clear, we went to Nobu in Malibu, which is one of the most elite restaurants on like planet Earth. So I mean, I would be so lucky for a guy to take me on a date to Nobu Malibu. And Kath had like the connection to the bartender and like knew the whole system of like, we got a great spot. We got so lucky. We took pictures. I had the best lychee martinis of my whole life. And I feel like I just was on like vacation energy mode. And we just like, I wanted to just keep ordering like the sushi. That was some of the best sushi I've ever had in my life, if not the best. And yeah, we covered like everything from like silly things, but we didn't talk about all that many like overly heavy things. So it was fun to be like, oh no, we're just friends as people with enough things in common. Like we're not just here to talk about grief every day, all day. And yeah, the people around us were funny. We did see Jonathan who's close friends with Kim K from Keeping Up with the Kardashians. He was at like a front table with a bunch of random people. So because Nobu's known for like celeb sightings. And of course, like less than a month later, Taylor and Travis were seen there. So I like don't even know what I would do if like I was in their presence. I wouldn't have been able to survive it. But no, I was just so thankful we had that like quality time and it was so much fun. And I really, really hope the stars can align for me to get my ass to LA even quickly while Mads is up there so we can be together in person as the three of us, even like for a day. And then no, we still need to do like a full girls trip down the line, but even a day of being together would be unbelievable.
Yeah, we have to recreate a Malibu outing with Mads because I know that she would love that.
Twist my arm.
I was going to say, I think the only thing that I can, like, not be annoyed about is the fact that I think I'm too picky for anything on the Nobu menu, so.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, noted. So we'll pick somewhere else.
You will get a perfect LA experience outside of Nobu, so you'll be fine at anywhere else. And we have to do, like, a Bravo, some sort of Vanderpump tie-in for us as well.
My partner really wants to go to Tom Tom.
Yes, so that go. Is an easy, that's an easy one that we can definitely do. And Tom Tom is like the only one I think that I could like be okay or on board with. Maybe Jax's, but I refuse to go to Schwartz and Sandy's. That
why?
Because when you're in LA and I point out where it is on the map, you're going to be like, why is that in the most random place I've ever seen?
It looks interesting. It's like in a freaking strip mall.
Yeah, but the location is also really random too.
Okay.
Tom Tom, great. Great plan. I love that for us. But I'm excited. I feel like I can't wait to kind of – I'm also going to be spending more time in like by the beach during the summer and Santa Monica. So that's kind of an update that I'll be around there. And I'm super excited to like host people and just have visitors all summer and be close enough to be able to take walks on the beach. It'll be so nice. So I'm really looking forward to that. I guess that's one of my updates. And then I know also what we haven't spoken about is The Bachelor, and Kelsey and I talked a little bit about this when she was visiting. Did you watch this season, Mads? You didn't.
I was shaking my head like we're not on an audio podcast.
This was a good one, Mads.
I think that this was like probably one of the best Bachelors we've had in a long time. I highly recommend this season. Probably my like second highest, if not favorite Bachelor of all time, I would say. And I, yeah, give him highly, highly rated. I think a lot of people really liked him, really well received. His like women tell all went really well. There was no like bad blood with him and any of the contestants. It was honestly weird. And there was a contestant, her name was Kelsey, who won at the end, who got engaged to Joey at the end. And I was curious, kind of, Kelsey, if you were like feeling anything during her story and like what was happening there. Like, while they do share the same name, Kelsey, the contestant on The Bachelor, also lost her mom to cancer. And so that was kind of her storyline throughout the season. And I feel like her grief, like she was definitely like processing her grief and talking about it pretty openly. And so was kind of curious, because I know Kelsey was watching, like how you were feeling about that season and how it turned out.
Yeah, no, I echo all of that, that it was like one of the best seasons of The Bachelor. I feel like the show hasn't been good in a long time. So just from that perspective, I know that was the energy felt. So just knowing that the show this season had so many millions of viewers back on, and then on such a big stage, grief was addressed so beautifully. So I just was like, oh, immediately, like, definitely need to talk about this on the podcast. And yeah, just so happened her name was Kelsey. Just so happened her grief situation was almost identical to mine. And she won. So, or like I said, they got engaged. So like the story was really prominent. So for context, yeah, in one of their one-on-one dates, she like opened up about it and she got emotional. And part of the reason I think Joey the Bachelor was so beloved is he was very emotionally intelligent, which is also a teaser for a future topic. And he was able to hold space for all of the girls explaining their stories or traumas. But specifically with Kelsey, I think there was something very like authentic and genuine about her, and how much you could tell like she loved her mom and how important her mom was to her. I will admit, I accidentally missed her hometown episode, but I heard from my sister like it was a lot, and to the point where she almost recommended I don't watch it, because she was even making comparisons that like her dad was saying things that like our dad would say, and like the situation was almost like so eerily similar with how it was being discussed, to the point where, yeah, I never went back and watched it, and maybe I will just to like see and connect. But some call outs is like, she was asked about it after the final rose and spoke about, and Kathy and I talked about this quote that like grief is love's souvenir. And she was able to like quote and speak about grief very like thoughtfully. I think she also was able to speak about signs, which I know we've not done a full episode yet about signs, but she pretty much said that like anytime a butterfly comes by, it reminds her of her mom, or that's her mom. And that even happened, I think, in the episodes, like they were doing something and a butterfly came up, and like, that's hypothetically like touchy to talk about. Like, not everyone believes in signs, but I know for most grievers, like, everyone believes more in signs than not. So I thought that was really cool that like ABC, a massive network, was willing to kind of highlight that and support her in the butterfly sign. And then even there's a really unique finale. So spoiler alert, Mads, if you want to plug your ears. But basically there was like really great female empowerment energy that's never happened in the finale, where like the final girl, the final two girls like came to the proposal together and were like really in support of each other. And Daisy, the runner-up, basically realized she was not going to win. And she kind of like controlled the situation. But she told Kelsey, like, as she was leaving and heartbroken herself, like, I know your mom is so proud of you and looking down on you right now. And there was just a lot of like really beautiful moments like surrounding grief and just showing people, speaking about it eloquently, again, normalizing it. Of course, that's not what you think you're going to be watching when you tune into the freaking Bachelor, right? Like, at all. And I just thought it was represented well. And obviously for someone like me, like I could relate to it. And of course we've talked about there's anxieties in dating with sharing this and trying to understand how a partner is going to connect with you and your family when mom is gone and like how that's going to go. So I was a little like comforted by it, but again, I have also avoided the hometown, but just overall, I always appreciate when grief is on a national stage because the more we normalize it and talk about it, the more comfortable everyone's going to be.
Yeah, I agree with that. I feel like it's a good also segue into we've kind of had discussions about how to bring it up in dating and what that's looked like and stuff like that. And it made me think about, since Mads is the only one in a relationship, like how I've just been curious lately, and I think Kelsey and I have talked a little bit about this and can get into more detail, but how you feel like you've navigated like grief conversations, and you've also now gone through loss while being with your partner, like how you handle those conversations and like how he kind of handles that emotionally. Like, do you feel like, I don't even know if there's words to describe it, but how do you feel supported, I guess, in that sense? And like, do you feel like you knew that early on dating him that he would be like that?
Wow, that's a good question. It's interesting. I feel like he specifically, like I've talked about my grandpa and stuff, my papa and my grandpa. But I don't think in like a really like long, I mean, he knows a lot about them. Like he refers to one of my grandpas like the magic one, because I was telling you about when my grandpa Mitchell would do all the things, and he knows like my papa's hat's up there. I think that like he knows, but he doesn't, I haven't gone in super, super in depth on them. I would say because it's been more prominent, I've talked to him a lot about my grandma. But there are days when I will just like be really sad about it still. It's actually my mom and I, I'm quick, I guess, update on top of that. My mom and I have been talking, and we both were like, it's been a little bit harder than we expected it to be. So I feel like I'm still processing through that. I feel like in that way with my grandma, he was great. Whenever I found out, I found out that she was going to not make it much longer. And I went to his house that day, and we were watching the Eras Tour on Disney+, and Marjorie came on, and I just started sobbing. Like I fucking like lost it. Like I was like, I can't. We were watching with his roommate, so I was being very nonchalant about it. And so I was like very much crying, but I didn't want his roommate to know. So I texted him that. And he just like put his phone and like grabbed me closer, and it was like sweet. Like we had a moment like that. He's been really patient and kind and good, but it's interesting because he's experienced loss and like friendships and grief, but like he never knew his grandparents, and he's never really dealt with grief or loss before at all. And so he's like, his grandparents are passed away, but he never even met him, so he doesn't have a relation. And besides that, he's never lost anyone. Which is okay. And like, it's good that he's not in the club, but it's interesting because he even says it. He's like, I can't relate to that because I don't even know. Like I never even met my grandparents. So when I'm going to talk about my grandma, he's like, yeah, I don't even know who my grandma was. And so it's interesting in that context. So I don't think he really gets it, but he tries to be supportive. It's also funny, like he doesn't listen to the podcast because I told him he can't. So like we'll talk about it a little bit and touch on it, but like, it's almost, yeah, it's like he doesn't know. I feel like he doesn't know that he doesn't have to say anything. He's like, doesn't know what to say. He watched Eloise when I went up. Like he's great at all, being there in all the ways he can. But it's funny. I feel like he's not exactly sure how to manage it because he's never dealt with it. But in that instance, it's really nice because like, obviously, like if I'm dealing with a situation like that, like I typically go to you guys first. And like it's nice that I have the community in other places. So until unfortunately, because I feel like, and I hate to say that because I feel like I never am someone that's like, oh, you don't know what it's like. But I feel like it, in this specific instance with like something like losing someone, until you go through it, you don't really know what to do or how to talk about it. And until you process it too. And so I think that like, it's just this awkward, it's this untouchable weird thing if you don't know it and you don't talk about it like we do. And so to me, I'm like, oh, here's this, here's how I'm feeling, here's what's happening. But to him, he's like, he doesn't say it, but I'm like, he doesn't know what to say. He doesn't know how to respond to that because he's never felt it. He doesn't talk about it. So that's kind of interesting. But that is a good question and something I haven't really thought about too much.
Yeah, this is a great question and one that Kath and I, as people who are single but dating, definitely are like very conscious about. But I think that was like a thoughtful answer and very interesting too, where it's like, it sounds like even though he hasn't experienced grief at all, like said on the extreme side, like no grandparents, like no anything. So you at least have the expectation set that he's like, he's not going to be able to like 100% know what you're going through and meet you exactly there. But I feel like what's important is however you as Mads, an individual, need that space held for you. You just need to make sure your partner is holding space for you in that way, or else the relationship probably wouldn't work for you. So it sounds like that even though he doesn't have the experience and isn't in the club per se, and you do have the other outlets, like you said, he holds the space enough for you that it makes for a fulfilling, happy relationship. Is that accurate? That just like he, like you said, he'll watch your dog when you need him to, and he'll listen to you and comfort you when you need him to. So you're in touch enough with your needs to know that like this person has clearly met them because you guys have been together for like a year. Just very inspirational to Kath and I, by the way.
Yeah, absolutely. All of that is true. And it's interesting. The first time he ever watched Eloise without me was when my grandma passed away because my, I don't know why, because I was supposed to dog sit and all of it got mixed up. And so my friend that usually is my backup watched the dog I was supposed to dog sit. And then I had Eloise. And the first time he ever watched her was when I went there. And he was funny because when I got back, I remember this is when I kind of knew we talked. This is when I kind of realized where we were in that instance. He was like, man, I was really surprised. Like, you didn't check on her at all. Like, I thought you'd be like a helicopter parent. And I was like, because you know, like when you're like, I knew she was safe. I knew she was good. He didn't ask any questions. I trust him. And so I didn't even like check on her. Like, he would like send me pictures and stuff, but like, I didn't ask. And he was like, I was really surprised. And so then now, like when I go, like I'm going to this wedding and he's going to watch her because he's not going, it's just a girl's thing. And I'm going to be like, where's the dog? Send me a picture. Like, it's so different than like when I was going through it. But it's interesting. It's almost like being that close to me in that time, you kind of can like, yeah, kind of go through it a little bit. But yeah, Kels, I think that it's really good. In this relationship, we both have been, we are just really honest and like don't, we have very good communication. And so I think it all kind of plays out and all washes out well. But yeah, things are going well, really grateful. But yeah, those are both really good questions.
I'm glad. And it does open up like that viewpoint for me. I think if I'm going to be honest, I have felt a lot in dating that I almost like needed to date somebody that's like gone through something just like a little traumatic to be able to like understand me better. And I know that sounds so shitty because it's like, I don't want people to go through trauma, but I just was always nervous that I wouldn't be understood fully, and especially emotionally and supported emotionally if somebody couldn't relate. Not to say that it had to be the same trauma, but just some sort of trauma that was like pretty defining. But I do think that that's not necessarily true. I think that I'm learning through examples of other stories and people, like how there can be people who are truly just holding a space for you, like we said, and are there for you and listen to you and like what you need. And that's more important really than like what their experience has been, because at the end of the day, that's what's going to comfort you. Not the fact that that has happened to them. It's how are you loved? Like, that's what's going to help you through. And so that is something that Kelsey and I were kind of talking about recently. I know we've had some dating experiences, and they've been like very early on in the dating world where we've kind of seen like, does that person get it? Like, when we talk about it or when we have to bring up or want to bring up the podcast, like there's these hints of not feeling like they understand. And I think that it's a hard kind of like thing to navigate. Like, I think like with time, things could change. Like, I have no idea. And that just comes naturally. or is it really like a sign from the beginning where they're an indicator and we just don't know, and we won't know until we spend more time with them, that like that's just who they are, they're unable to like get there type of thing. But yeah, that's just kind of been on my mind and something that I've been thinking about recently.
Well, thank you for sharing that. You spoke about that so eloquently. Like I was like, that was very beautiful. But I feel like I can, and I'm not an expert for sure. This is like my first genuine, like serious relationship. But I think that in my experience, and it's not so much the grief, but we are kind of like in the mental health category too. I noticed that same feeling, Kath, of like, if you don't understand this, this is something that was like difficult. And I think it's because mental health is so much closer to my grief is too, but like I deal with my mental health and battle it every single day in multiple different ways. And so it's very on top of my mind. And I remember when we first started dating, he had made a comment and it wasn't anything serious. He was like, oh, so-and-so is and this is an issue because when he gets depressed, he does this, or he acts like this, or he did something. And it wasn't anything bad. It was just an observation. And then I kind of stepped back and I really thought for a second, I was like, this was like early on. I was like, is this going to be like the deal breaker that like, he can't, like, he's not like aware of mental health and like, he can't be aware, like he's talking about depression like that. Like, does he know that I have severe major depression? Like, da da da. So then I called him out on it in that moment. And I think once I made him aware and once he realized how important and every day it is to me, he's gotten a lot better with it. So I feel like, I think like silly things, like I was really going through it. I think we might've talked since then, but it was a couple months ago, maybe a month and a half ago now. And I just was like, nothing was wrong, but I just was like, it was just a bad depression spiral. And it would be like stopping for, he'd like take me to Colton on the way home because he thought it would boost serotonin is what he would say. But like, he's genuinely just like being like aware and patient and kind and knowledgeable. And so I think that because whenever I very first started, dating him, it wasn't that way. I feel like he grew that way. It's like, once you care about someone more, maybe you get to know them more, you kind of, because it stopped bothering me that he was like that originally. And then he also got better at it in time. So it's kind of an interesting, and I think it might be different from people and different from relationships. And it's, not that it's all one size, but that's kind of what my experience is with it.
No, all of everybody's points have been very interesting. And this has definitely been top of mind for me too. Because I recently had a dating experience for a couple months and the guy couldn't have been sweeter and more thoughtful. But in those couple months, just never felt like I was able to really get to that like deeper emotional understanding. And not that I felt like he needed to have gone through the exact same thing as me or anything like that. It was more just like, can you meet me where I am? Can you meet me in this space? Like, can you get there with me? Can you ask me questions? Can you share something about you? And I felt like I had gotten that with other dating experiences in shorter time. But I think these are all key reminders. Mads, like you said, one, there's a sense of like responsibility of like, this is important to me, and like being able to call that out. And your point that like, once you really care about someone and you're in it with them for longer, you're going to prioritize what they're going through or their needs like differently, obviously, than right out the gate. So I certainly don't expect anyone to come in hot and like nail that from like date two or something. But I do feel like, to Kath's point, that we're struggling with is we feel like we need at least see a flicker of like, you're good at holding space, or you are emotionally intelligent, or you can have a deeper conversation and not be scared. And if they so happen to have gone through grief or another trauma, then you speak even more of the same language and it works, but it definitely doesn't need to be that requirement, but it's just a different annoying piece of the puzzle of dating that's already kind of complicated. But Mads, you're a great example that like, they don't need to have gone through the same exact thing as you, but I feel like there is a baseline that needs to be had since we cannot separate from our grief. It is a part of us and it is complicated, but it is who we are. So we need to be able to find someone who can support and hold space. And of course, the longer you're with somebody, the more you invest, the more you see that come out. But just a fun, interesting thing Kath and I get to think about while we're on the dating scene.
So fun and so interesting. And then speaking of dating, I know a lot of us have we're around weddings all the time. We're involved in weddings all the time. Bachelorette parties, bridal showers, any trips of note that you guys want to bring up that has either brought up any like grief stories or things that you wanted to share. It's okay if not, but thought I'd put that out there.
Yeah, for sure. I can jump in. Definitely, we are all in prime time wedding season, that phase of our lives. And naturally, in general, all those events, because they are big life markers, do bring up a little of the grief, a little of the like thinking of like, oh man, like I won't have that moment with my mom, or like you see a lot of like the mother-daughter situation happening. Interestingly, I was on a bachelorette party in Cabo this past weekend, which was so fun, wonderful time. But a unique part of it is the bride brought along her mom and one of the mom's friends, who was another mom of one of the girls invited. So basically two mother-daughter duos were a part of this bachelorette, which is obviously unique. And I knew the bride's mom. I'd never met the other girl's mom. And they brought such great energy and were so fun. So it was a great ad. However, obviously having that like adult mother-daughter energy around me so prominently in a way that I'm not used to being around for a full weekend, I was like, I thought that would maybe impact me more, and it impacted me. Like I thought about it, but it didn't impact me so much that it took away from like me having fun or being able to be present. But it is something that just will be a flag in my brain. Like it's just a reminder of like, yep, those types of things are going to get flagged mentally. You are going to think about them. And there was also a moment in the bachelorette where the smaller group of us were out there. And one of the girls was asking me like, oh, like, do your parents live in Salinas? And in other situations, I've kind of been like, oh yeah, my family still lives in Salinas and move along. But the bride was right there and I knew she knew everything. So I just kind of surprised myself and maybe for the first time, just very matter-of-factly said like, my mom actually passed a couple years ago, but yeah, my dad's still in Salinas, and just kind of kept going. And I even kind of surprised myself that I just kind of like did that, because normally I do the dance around. And then, you know, the bride, who's my friend, like she was able to kind of jump in and be like, oh yeah, like how long has it been now? Like that service was so beautiful, and like we were able to have like a little quick moment talking about it. But yeah, those were a couple things of note that came up from this most recent bachelorette.
There's definitely no right or wrong in how you approach those things. But from my perspective, and again, just because it's been so long for me, that's like almost like a sign of growth, I feel like, or like a marker of like, like overcoming some sort of hill, or like you're on the next like chapter type of thing. I don't know. I'm not a therapist. I don't quote me on this, but like, I feel like I went through that same exact like moment as well. And then from there on out, always said that, always then corrected, or always then made it so matter of a fact. And it's a way, one, to normalize it and talking about it so that people can, you know, listen to that and not feel like it has to be so heavy, and that you can say that and that you don't have to quote unquote lie or just like dance around, because that's uncomfortable for you too. But I, that all to say, like, I think it's just a sign of like another, the next like step in your journey, I guess to say, which sounds like kind of cheesy, but I don't know. I just feel like it's kind of like a good moment to look back on. And a sign of strength for sure.
Yeah, I was going to say that same thing. And thanks for sharing that. I feel like I was going to ask, because I feel like sometimes in those situations, especially if there's like an emotional grief trigger, if you're in a room or a spot with someone, people, it can be very overstimulating very quickly. But I'm really glad to hear that like you were able to process it. And exactly what Kathy said, like, I feel like that's a good step. Like it's a step of growth for sure. I'm proud of you though. That's what's very cool.
Thank you both. And it is comforting to know, Kath, that like you went through kind of that same moment, because I have so much easier like done the dance, and just, yeah, it was probably a sign that I'm like just either more used to, thanks to this podcast, like talking about it, or just wanting to normalize it more, or just being a little further away from it, that I'm able to kind of separate and just kind of state it. I definitely like had that moment of like, oh, whoa, did I just do that? I was just like very matter of fact and just like carried on. But it was also a little bit of a weird feeling, of course, when you're like telling new people, it's another reminder. And it is that feeling of like, now they perceive me differently, but also we kind of can be closer because you now know this thing about me. And it did end up leading with this girl to other conversation that was like more vulnerable on her end, sharing about like family stuff, like she's gone through, and she was then aware of mine. And so I feel like it ended up being something positive, but definitely, yeah, a marker of like, oh, that was different than what I've done before.
Yeah. It also reminds me of like when the response, if somebody says, I'm sorry for your loss, and then the response is, it's okay. Like for years, I would always say, it's okay. And then one year I was like, it's not okay. Like,
it's not fucking okay.
Yeah.
I say and thank you instead. Yeah.
I had to learn the thank you, and it took me years to get there. And I felt like that's another one of those steps, almost in a sense. And again, there is no wrong or right answer to these like situations. You can go about like saying it's okay for the rest of your life, but there's just something a little bit more empowering about changing the response in these simple ways that you're talking about, that I just think like show a little bit signs of growth. So I just wanted to acknowledge that.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
But on a much lighter note, in celebration of Taylor Swift's album this week, we stumbled across, I believe, was it that she posted it? Or like a fan account posted this? Because I'm not really sure.
It was posted on the New York Times.
Oh, okay.
The thing that I shared on our story of like the stages of grief.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they've definitely been fan theories, but I could have she released on Apple Music different playlists because people were freaking out that like Lover was put into like denial playlist or something like that. Right? Am I going crazy? I can do a quick Google search, but I swear, let me look up the Apple Play.
You're probably right.
Hold on, Googling.
But the thing that I had posted for us was from Time Magazine, I think.
Okay. So there were definitely articles written about it. I haven't seen the actual playlist, but if it's on Apple Music, that explains why, because I use Spotify.
Yes, she did. Taylor Swift curates from Rolling Stone soundtracks the five stages of grief with new Apple Music playlists, and fans like lost their mind that like she did not put Lover in like a positive, or she like, I even added Lover at all into this. And so the fact that it's just like, oh, I have to log in to read the story. I'll find it on my phone. But just the fact that she, one, acknowledging the five stages of grief, which of course is a little like controversial. And we go back to our previous episodes where we talk in depth about our definitions of the five stages of grief and how like on the surface level, it's maybe too simplified and a reminder. It's like very dynamic and they can all happen kind of at once. They don't need to happen sequentially. But just the fact that it is grief related and Taylor related, it was truly, truly made for us to discuss. So we have to discuss. I also have the playlists up, and she had like voice memos associated with them too. Let's see. I love you. It's ruining my life. And then on that, Lavender Haze, Snow on the Beach, Sweet Nothing, Glitch, Betty, Willow, Cruel Summer, Lover, Miss Americana, False God, and there's a few more. I won't go through all of them, but I just know that the Swiftie community freaked out at Lover for all the people who had that in like their wedding. But Lover is on the denial playlist.
She is insane.
She's insane.
No, it is crazy. And it's interesting to hear like how many of a certain album that we know are about Joe, like are showing up and like being in love with him are showing up in these grief stages. Obviously, we're all expecting that this album has to do with that breakup, of course. But I think it's interesting just to see this new light shed on a breakup through the stages of grief. We've always talked about grief can be the grief of someone living, and a breakup is definitely not immune to the same feelings of grief. So
yes,
I am excited for sure for this upcoming album.
And I now, just to add further research, her names of the playlist in association with the stages of grief are kind of funny. So I can at least just read the names of the playlist, not all the songs. But Denial, she called I Love You, It's Ruining My Life songs. Anger, You Don't Get to Tell Me About Sad Songs. Bargaining, Am I Allowed to Cry? ? Songs. Depression, Old Habits Die Screaming songs. And finally, Acceptance, which is titled after one of the tracks, I can do it with a broken heart songs. So that's how she titled them.
Wait, what's insane is that I just saw this video, and I'll have to send it to you guys, and I'm sure you've seen it, but it was like the last video we had of Taylor and Joe, and in the lip readers are saying that he's saying whatever you said the second one was like, you're telling me about being sad, like you're telling me about sad songs. The lip reader said you could hear him say, you're telling me about being sad, like,
yeah, you don't get to tell me about sad. It's everything is coded, but the fact that she's, yeah, talking about grief from a breakup standpoint, and obviously anything fucking Taylor Swift talks about, the whole world will talk about. So just knowing that, like, it'll then be in dialogue, and it also gives people tools from, like, breakup grief as well as grief in general is just great.
Well, I think is really cool about it is that I feel like, and I know you touched on it a second ago, but it's so misconceived. I feel like sometimes in the grief community that, like, like you said, you can lose somebody who's still alive and who's still around. And like, I think it's even cooler because it's normalizing the fact that, like, even if you haven't dealt with death or whatever, even if your grief journey there is different, like, you know what it's like to lose something that you love, whether it's a person or a toy, whatever it is. And so I think that that's really cool that it's coming up not only on the main stage, but on the main stage in an untraditional, but actually really traditional way. I was looking up while you were looking that up, Kels. My sister sent me had been leaking some lyrics today at like her pop-up in LA. And she said, as she was leaving, it felt like breathing. And I was just like,
whoa,
like it's going to be like Folklore and Evermore on steroids.
Truly Folklore and Evermore on steroids. And I heard like mixed with like All Too Well energy. And like the combination of that, I feel like is going to blow everyone away. I know come next recording, we're going to need to dedicate a whole part to breaking down the album and each picking our favorite songs and being able to like dissect it. But I think it is going to be, which obviously we all know, like her lyric writing is one of her greatest gifts and talents that like nobody can argue. And I feel like this is going to be put on like even next level for her in terms of just like scathing lyrics. And I think it's going to just benefit everyone, but especially women processing emotions with breaking up with men and men in general beautifully. But we are very excited for that. We will definitely talk about that next time. It was so fun to be able to catch up with you guys. I missed you. I hope that this LA moment for the three of us to finally meet in person can happen. And with that, I'm going to wrap us up. I hope that everyone, please, please follow us on Instagram if you haven't already, at The Morning Crew. Send us a message. Send us content. Ask us questions. Write us an email. Rate the podcast. Share it with a friend. All of the things. Go back and listen to our episodes about the stages of grief and with our lovely guests from the last few months, including the one with my dad. We've gotten a lot of fun, positive feedback with that. But we appreciate your support as always. As always, yes, go Ken, always. Can't wait to get Ken's thoughts on the new album too, since he is now a full Swiftie. But thank you for following and supporting. We love you.
Bye.